What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I'm with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, Kevin. I'm doing really good today.
Oh, you're so, talking so soft.
Yeah, I'm really calm.
Quiet.
I'm calm today.
Very calm.
Simplified.
Very peaceful. Yeah. Okay. Hey, I've got a quick question.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new Coke commercials for the new Coke flavors product?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so you have kind of the same feeling?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so for the listeners, if you haven't seen the new Coke commercials, we are going to put a link to a YouTube video in the show notes so you can see it. But basically, there is a werewolf girl that shows up at a convenience store and is chatting with the clerk, and come to find out, he drinks the Coke and turns into a werewolf too, and you know, implied.
Ooh, spoiler alert! No, I'm just kidding.
Love at first sight, and right. Romance on the spot.
Yeah,
and all
it's
that.
So dumb.
Yeah, so try not to be too harsh. I think the commercial kind of sucks big time.
I agree. Well, and like werewolves, the concept of werewolves isn't really trending right now. I mean, I'm not super up on pop culture,
right.
But a few years ago when the Twilight series was popular and that kind of stuff, it was. But I don't see anything else werewolvy, you know.
Right.
I don't know why they chose that. It's just like really random.
Yeah, werewolves are just so early April.
Yeah, we're almost to May now.
That's right. Gosh, right. It was bad enough. Not that we don't see bad commercials, but with a great brand like Coke, who has suffered being off-brand in the past, as tragically as they did, 20 years ago with the new Coke, you would think that they wouldn't make the same kind of mistake. And I see this, other than the fact that they didn't change the formula of their product, they didn't change the product. So this is just a marketing mistake. But as brand mistakes go, this is just as egregious as the new Coke debacle, I think.
Yeah, it's just not on brand at all.
Yeah, so it's nowhere near the worst commercial I have ever seen. But man, it's a hard thing to watch if you're looking at it from that brand's perspective. So here's a kind of a breakdown of what I think was going on with the mistake that they made with the commercial. So if you've got a 110-plus-year-old brand strategy, don't veer away from it. You know, like I said, I put this kind of mistake right up that with the whole new Coke idea. If you are trying to be funny, you should be doing that strategically. Funniness should be part of it, like a jester brand, right? Or an undertone, where you have humor as part of a major part of your brand strategy. That's not Coke. So trying to be funny when it's never been part of your brand strategy is a mistake. And trying to be funny and then failing, even if you are,
it's not even that funny.
It's really not that funny.
It's like a double whammy.
It wasn't cute. It wasn't interesting. It wasn't funny. If you chuckled at all, it was kind of superficial. It was like, wow, this is really not a good commercial. So, I don't know. Any of your thoughts more on that?
No, I mean, I totally agree with you. I was just like,
So the reason I brought that up is Coke is an innocent brand. I mean, they're the classic ultimate in innocent brands, and this one was just so far off. So let's talk about if they were to make the next commercial to be back on brand, let's talk about what that means. Let's talk about the innocent. So why don't you start us off with one of the big ideas? We'll just kind of go through, because there's, for the innocent archetype, there's only a handful of ideas, unlike some of the others where it's just loaded with lots of right. big ideas.
Yeah, I think the most important concept for companies that want to adopt the Innocent brand is simplicity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the key strategies is to remove chaos from processes and to make things super easy for the consumer. So this includes things like having fewer options or choices. You know, like when you're trying to get your toddler dressed in the morning and you don't say go get dressed, you say blue shirt or green shirt, right? Mm-hmm. You just give them a couple choices. Right. Yeah, and then not using complex lingo and jargon, that's really important. You increase your helpfulness, very, very helpful, lots of personal interactions, and you convey a strong sense of patience and guidance. So like how you would need to be teaching a toddler something new. Not that you're not talking down to people though. That's a thing to make sure you don't do with this particular this brand. Yeah. And then you know, I don't know about you, Kevin, but like people are generally put off or maybe even afraid of complexity. I mean, it's really easy to get overwhelmed by processes and things like that. So this is where this brand really shines. And if your competition is complicated, you could really make a splash being this way. And if you're going to exude innocence, you need to take a good hard look at how you're presenting your complex ideas and processes, because, you know, life is hard and complicated. You're going to come across these things, but that doesn't mean that that's how you have to convey them. So you not only do you have to make them simpler, but you need to convey the changes to the consumers before they even begin to interact with them. So you're already making things simpler for them before they even know that you are. And let them know often that your goal is to make things simpler. Like that's your shtick.
Telling it to them, you know.
Yeah, we're going to make this easy for you.
if you expect that they're going to figure it out, maybe you didn't make it simple enough.
Right.
So as you're talking, it just popped into my head and go, I buy that. Yeah, that's good. But I was thinking about processes that are inherently scary. Like, you know, let's say you're going through a legal process, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, like some complex contract negotiation or something, you know, that I want someone to help make that simpler.
Right.
Or what if you're going through something scary, you know, like a health issue, you know, like an oncologist or something, you know, or something where the world that you're wallowing around in is already complex. Okay, so I would say the next big idea, it's kind of similar to simplicity, but it is definitely distinct, is to be childlike.
Mm-hmm.
So think back to when you were a kid. Most people, their childhood was way, way simpler than currently adulting the way we are.
Right.
There were fewer responsibilities. There were fewer time constraints, less responsibility for others. Your world was smaller. It was easier to manage. You know, psychologically, things were just way easier. So wouldn't it be great to go back to those times or to feel like you've returned back to those simpler times?
Ah, yes, it would. Right.
So I think a big part of conveying these childlike ideas is to actually show situations that include kids, you know, in your marketing, mm-hmm. your marketing pieces and your commercials and stuff. How you portray yourself, your portrayal will most likely include lots of smiles and laughing and bright sunny days and fun interactions. You know, if you think about what it is that makes you feel that way, that's what you're going to be portraying in your commercials. You know, little kids who just, they just ooze cuteness. You know, you just want
babies and puppies.
There you go. Unicorns. Okay, so let's go back to Coke, because Coke has for 100 years, you know, removing just a handful of those years, they're an awesome innocent brand. And when we normally think of Coke, we can kind of off the top of our heads remember past commercials that did things the right way. You know, the innocence and this Coke and a smile and, you know, the holding hands across America thing and people singing. And it's just like, oh, it's just so much fun. It's, mm-hmm. and it feels like Coke, right?
Yep.
So even some of their taglines, they tap directly into the idea of innocence. Like, have a Coke and a smile, or open happiness, or the super simple tagline, actually overly simple, enjoy.
Enjoy, yeah.
Right. So if you want to see an awesome example of this idea of childlike innocence, you know, this kind of simplicity, we have a commercial on our website. If you go to brandarchetypes.com and find your way to the Innocent Archetype page, we embedded a commercial for Thai Life Insurance. So it's in Taiwanese. It's not in English, so there's subtitles. But man, oh man, it just oozes
yeah.
the feel-good simplicity of, you know, people being nice and things being innocent and simple and feel-good stuff. Just, it's an awesome thing. Awesome mm-hmm. thing. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll notice that as you watch the commercial, there really is nothing about insurance or nothing about the Thai Life Insurance Company. It's not about that at all. It's all about those innocent emotions. So in just 3 minutes, you can look for multiple stories. You can look for character development. You can listen to the music. It's just, it's really rich. So go watch that. Everything just kind of perfectly melts together. Enjoy it. You'll kind of get what we're talking about with this yeah. whole childlike idea by watching that. So yeah. what else you got?
Yeah, that commercial has all the feels, all the feels. Another big idea for the Innocent brand is nostalgia. You touched a little bit about that, about Coke. They do a good job with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is linked directly to the concept of those childlike ideas, but doesn't require us to think about kids when we were that young. So it's simply, it's kind of like simply reflecting on simpler times, you know, back in the good old days, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not kids. It's just, you know, thinking
yeah,
back.
Past, yeah, past, right.
Yeah.
And taking this approach allows us to tell the stories, that whole all-powerful storytelling technique that looks back in time, back to when we thought things were easier, even if they weren't easier, we sometimes think they were. Yeah. And there's a lot of power in that. Our brains are wired to remember and amplify the good stuff in our lives and to forget or minimize the bad things. This is natural. We all tend to do that. Mm-hmm. So the result is that we as humans have a skewed view of the past. We generally remember it as better than it actually was. So this is an important fact to understand and remember, that can be really useful with the innocent archetype in particular.
Right. So I remember I was going to talk about things being natural. This one I don't think is quite as important as what you were just talking about, nostalgia or the childlike stuff or the simplicity, but it is definitely something that pops up quite often. I would say that simplicity, childlike values, and nostalgia, any innocent archetype company or organization can take any of those three ideas and try to infuse them into any marketing piece right away, not just get away with it, but it would definitely enhance and make their brand stronger.
Yeah.
The next topic of being all natural is not something that every single innocent brand can do, but if it fits for you, like Tom's of Maine is a great example, if that fits for you and your product and your company, your organization, wow, it's super powerful, super powerful. So the idea, it includes concept like freshness and being out in nature and being eco-friendly, saving the planet, all the green movement stuff.
So when you say natural, you mean more like product-based and ingredients
yes.
and that kind
yep.
of thing. Okay.
Well, but even, let's say you provide a service. You're not creating a product.
Right.
Your service could be very in tune with saving the planet and being all green.
Okay.
And right. So
right.
It might be just your view of the world, right?
Right.
So yeah, Toms of Maine, go check out their entire product line. If you go to the Toms of Maine website and just start reading, you'll totally get that they're all about this all natural stuff.
Right.
And it's really their whole strategy
right.
and everything they do.
Right.
Right.
They're good. Yeah, they have a good brand.
So if you've selected the innocent archetype, again, consider each of these ideas one at a time. Simplicity, childlike ideas, nostalgia, being all natural. See how you can take an existing marketing idea. Let's say you're working on a new social campaign or you know, a new trifold brochure or any kind of marketing piece or anything that you're doing in marketing. Try to amplify these ideas. try to very specifically weave them heavily into this piece, be pretty direct with them, you know, do this whole childlike simplicity thing right in the pocket, right in your face. So shine a light on them and see how that feels, because when you're done, it's not something you probably would have done naturally without this encouragement. But when you finish, you know, I think you'll find that it's better. It enhances what you're doing. So
yeah.
I think one thing that will absolutely help with that process, if someone's thinking, yeah, okay, I think I'll give that a shot, is to use the right words, right? Would you agree with that, Amy? Yay. So word girl, why don't you give us some of those words?
Yeah, so I have a combination of just some single words and then some phrases. So here's some of my favorite. Relax, simple, casual, uncomplicated, handy, inviting, clear, user-friendly, comfy, easier than ever before, or it's a piece of cake, or no more guesswork. Are you starting to get that simple vibe I'm putting out there?
I am. It's a chaos-free, peaceful place.
Yeah, I'm currently working with an artist in her art studio right now that she has adopted the innocent. Her studio is called Good Vibes Art Studio, and she refers to herself as the Zen Master, which I think is amazing.
That's
and
awesome.
You know, she was all about, well, I'm the artist. I'm like, of course you're the artist. That is an archetype, but that's just a given. Like, let's be more, you know, like, let's do something else. And so I, you know, talked to her all about the reasons for doing that. So yesterday we were working on how she's going to start answering her phone. And I think she's leaning towards, like, Good Vibes Art Studio, what's the vibe today?
What's the vibe today? What are those chimes that they rub the rims of the chime?
Oh, yeah, or like a singing bowl.
Singing bowl, that's what it is, a singing bowl, yeah. Oh,
yeah, but she's really embracing it. It's very cool, yeah.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
So let me point something out for listeners. If you, by chance, listened to last week's podcast where we talked about the outlaw, and then as you're listening today, you can probably palpably feel us slowing down and talking quieter with bigger pauses. There is definitely less energy to this week's podcast than there was for last week's. Would you agree with that, Amy?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely a big change from last week's discussion. And that's kind of a part of, you know, me pointing that out. It's not like Amy and I got together, okay, we got to remember to talk more quietly. We have to include more pauses. No, that discussion didn't happen. It happened naturally because we put ourselves emotionally into this space. So, before we move to the next thing, let's not forget that the innocent archetype, like most of the archetypes, have sub-archetypes. Pretty straightforward. The first one we call the angel. And this is a part of the archetype that embodies simplicity. The second we called the child, which, as you would expect, is all about those childlike values and nostalgia. So whether you pick the angel or the child as a sub-archetype, it doesn't really matter. They're both heavily inside the innocent, and you can't go wrong either way.
Yeah, and if you want a little bit more information on that, remember, there's a page on brandarchetypes.com that's dedicated to the innocent. And if you take a look at the SWOT analysis on that page, you'll find that the suggestions there are to simply stay true to these big ideas, to not veer away from them ever. So if you've only listened to a couple of our podcasts or you're new to brand archetypes, you have likely heard us say that you should shoot for brand strategy perfection to stay 100% true to your approach and to pay attention to every step on your brand journey. If you're an innocent brand, that advice is doubly true. So yeah. I think it's easier for an innocent brand to stray than from other brands. So like, for example, a jester or maybe like the outlaw can kind of get away with just about anything. For the lover, there's a lot of levels of passion and lots of flavors of passion. You know, like for the explorer, there are an almost infinite number of ways to seek out and discover new things. But, and there's always a big but, for the innocent, that just isn't true. you're either innocent or you're not. There's almost no middle ground, and there's definitely not as much wiggle room as with the other archetypes. And that's not to say don't be afraid to use it. It's very powerful. It's just that you have to be aware of that.
Yeah, and if that right there, what Amy just said, is the price of admission for this podcast, what you just said is super important. It's always important to try to be 100% on brand. But yeah, when you don't have a lot of wiggle room, you have to pay more attention, you know?
Yeah, and so, I would argue that actually makes it, in some ways, a lot easier for you.
Yeah,
it for your marketing, because it's just razor focus. It's either on brand or it's not, you know?
Yep.
So don't be afraid of that.
Yeah. Right, but you said it makes it easier because it, you know, reduces your options. It makes things simpler, right? But in that, there is a trap, that lack of wiggle room. So like they say in Star Wars, it's a trap. Don't fall for it, right? So what is the trap? Well, let me kind of give you a little background here. So I've been designing websites since the very, very early first days of the web, you know, back in the early 90s.
Back when times were simpler.
That's right. Remember back before we had the interwebs? Yeah.
Interwebs.
So I noticed something back in the 90s and ever since, that if someone wants a website, they'll build it, they'll go through the whole process, the complex thing, and it's only a couple of years, 2, 3, 4 years later, they will invariably get bored with the site. And they will call and say, hey, I was thinking about doing a redesign. And a lot of web developers would say, "Woohoo! Okay, another project. And say absolutely nothing. The customer has, they've been staring at that site. They've interacted with it daily. Of course, it's natural that it feels, I'm getting bored with this. It feels stale to me. So when I get that call, I always ask them a whole series of questions. How is it performing? Does it look professional? Has it started to look outdated? You know, whatever that means to them or to me, right? What's the motivation for your change? You know, like I said, there's a whole series of questions. And the reason I ask the questions is I shift them away from the emotions, which they normally are always feeling, right? Mm-hmm. To an intellectual evaluation process. And they can answer these questions. Does it look professional? Yeah. Does it look outdated? No. Is it performing well? Yeah. Well, by the time they answer those questions, they are less apt to make an emotional response of paying thousands and thousands of dollars to update something that doesn't really need to be changed, right?
Right.
So the reason I tell you the story is the innocent archetype is similar. By design, it's not super energetic. By design, it's straightforward. It's simple. It's predictable. And because of that, it's easy to be too close to it, right? If the owner of an innocent archetype strategy, if they start to get bored with their own ideas or the approach that they're taking because they're narrow and limited and there's only a couple of big ideas that you can tap into, it doesn't mean that the strategy isn't effective or damaged. It just means they're getting bored with it. Okay, so you have to go into this archetype with knowing that that's probably going to happen to you. You have to understand that changing your strategy or veering away is way more dangerous than the other alternative, which is trying to creatively come up with your next idea within that narrow view, right? So I think it's a good breaking point here, but what do you think of that idea? Is it really a trap, Amy?
It can be for people that get bored easily, but it's also very appealing to people who like to keep things simple and the same. So you just have to have an honest conversation with yourself and your team when deciding your archetype. But that's why it's going to appeal to certain people to adopt that archetype, and it's going to appeal to certain people to buy from that kind of brand. So, and I think that goes for all of them, right? I mean, not the outlaw isn't going to appeal to everybody. We can be kind of abrasive and that's fine. They're just, those clients aren't for us.
Right. So let's say you're a solopreneur and you've chosen to be an innocent archetype and you've embraced it and you're doing a great job. When you get bored, you can still very easily critically look at the ideas behind the innocent, know that you're the one who picked them, know what it takes to continue to embrace those, and just kind of get over the boredom, right? Just
right.
get through it.
Right. But or bring someone on that understands the concept to help you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come up with some ideas.
But
yeah.
Let's say now you're a large company and not everybody, like let's say the VP of marketing is actually a jester or a, you know, an explorer type person themselves. And they didn't fully buy into that whole innocent archetype idea to begin with. If they don't fully embrace it, they actually may be able to influence the direction that the brand takes if they don't really understand the danger here, the trap.
Yeah, right? That's probably what happened with that werewolf commercial in Coke.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
100%. Who's the new guy? Who brought the new guy?
Right, yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so there's a good breaking point. Okay. If you have questions about this whole innocent thing, please, please do give us a call. We would love to chat with you. And we got a request from one of our listeners who said, hey, I'm working on a brand of beauty and health.
Skincare products?
Is it skincare? Yeah, I thought it was beauty products. Yeah. And she wants us to do the magician archetype because she's picked the magician. So we just rearranged a couple of things and we will gladly help you out. So thank you for writing to us, Zoe. And we look forward to having you hear all about the magician next week.
I think literally what Kevin said to Zoe was, your wish is our command, Zoe. We will do the magician archetype next. I love that. That was perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So, Amy, why don't you give us a wrap up?
Yeah, absolutely. Please, again, reach out to us. You can contact us through brandarchetypes.com if you want a word bank for the innocent or any other of our archetypes. Let us know that we sell those for $29.95. And, of course, follow us on all the social platforms at Brand Archetypes. Have a great week. We will see you next week.
Thanks, Amy. Bye.
Yep. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.